Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are taking on a giant. We're talking about Galileo Galilei.
One of the biggest names in history, for sure.
Exactly. But we're going to try and get past the simple story we all learned in school. The man with the telescope versus the church.
That's right. We're diving into Stillman Drake's biography, which is really considered the essential book on Galileo.
And Drake's whole point is that by focusing only on that drama, we kind of miss the real story.
We completely miss it. The popular story is great, but Drake argues his true genius, his real revolution, wasn't the astronomy.
So our mission today is to unpack that. Drake's idea that Galileo's real legacy wasn't what he saw in the sky, but how he created the scientific method itself.
Yes, this is a deep dive into the birth of modern physics. I mean, the framework we use every single day to find reliable knowledge.
He gave us the recipe, so to speak.
He did. Controlled experiments plus mathematical analysis. He made that the non-negotiable standard for finding truth.
And that reframing is so important because it makes him less of a historical figure and more, well, the architect of our modern world.
To really get that, though, we have to talk about the author, Stillman Drake.
Right. Who was he?
Drake lived from 1910 to 1993, and he wasn't just a historian. This is key. He was a scientist by training.
Ah, so he had a different lens.
A completely different lens. He actually translated Galileo's most important works himself, the dialogue concerning the two chief world systems, the two new sciences.
That's a huge undertaking. So he had this intimate knowledge of the original texts.
It allowed him to become what you might call a scientific detective. He spent decades digging through Galileo's original handwritten notes, his scribbles, his letters.
So he was seeing the thought process, not just the final polished argument.
Exactly. And because of that, he could debunk some of the biggest myths.
Like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
That's the perfect example. Drake shows it wasn't some grand public spectacle to shame his rivals.
So, what was it then?
It was probably a series of very careful, very private experiments, maybe even just thought experiments. The point is, the real work was the quiet, rigorous measurement, not the public drama.
That distinction really changes everything. It's methodology over myth.
And that's the central argument of the book. Galileo's number one achievement was fusing controlled experiments with mathematical analysis. He basically invented modern mechanics.
Before him, science, or I guess natural philosophy, was based on what?
Mostly Aristotle. It was about logical debate, quoting ancient authorities. Galileo comes along and says, no, the only authority is proof you can measure.
So the book is structured around that intellectual journey. Drake wants to shift our focus from the trial, which he sees as just a consequence,
to the methodological revolution, which was the cause.
It follows him from his early days in Pisa, where he's already questioning Aristotle.
Then the telescope, which gives him the hard evidence he needs.
And then, amazingly, his most important work comes at the very end, while he's under house arrest.
That's right. His final book is the true blueprint for the scientific era. Drake makes a compelling case that this new way of doing science leads directly to Isaac Newton. This is the moment the world stops just talking and starts measuring.
Okay, let's dig into that journey. Before the telescope even, what was he challenging?
Well, he started with Aristotle's physics of motion. Aristotle said, heavier things fall faster. It sounds right, you know, it feels intuitive.
Sure, a rock falls faster than a feather.
But Galileo suspected that was only because of air resistance. He started formulating this radical idea that in a vacuum, a feather and a rock would fall at the exact same speed.
So he's challenging 2,000 years of wisdom right from the start.
Absolutely. But the real explosion, the thing that made him famous and infamous, came in 1610, the telescope.
The sidereal messenger. The starry messenger.
Yes. He points his new telescope at the sky, and what he sees just demolishes the old worldview of perfect heavenly spheres.
What were the two biggest discoveries? The real knockout blows.
The first was seeing mountains and craters on the moon.
Why was that so shocking?
Because the heavens were supposed to be perfect, ethereal, completely different from the flawed, corruptible Earth. Seeing that the moon was a rugged, rocky world just like ours, it shattered that idea.
It made the Earth less of a special case.
Exactly. And the second blow was finding four moons orbiting Jupiter.
I see. Because if everything orbits the Earth, then what are these things doing circling another planet?
Precisely. It proved there were other centers of motion in the cosmos. The evidence was right there for anyone with a telescope to see. It was irrefutable.
Which brings us to the conflict. he starts advocating very publicly for the Copernican sun-centered system. And he does it in Italian, right? Not Latin.
A critical choice. He was bypassing the academics and speaking directly to the educated public.
And he tried to keep religion out of it. He famously said the Bible teaches how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go.
He did. He saw no conflict. But the politics got very messy, especially with his book, The Dialogue.
This is where the characters come in. Salviati, who argues for Galileo's view.
Segredo, the intelligent neutral party. And Simplicio,
the defender of Aristotle. And Simplicio sounds a lot like Simpleton.
It does. And the rumor was that Simplicio, who often sounded foolish, was a caricature of Pope Urban VIII, who had been a supporter of Galileo's.
So it became personal, a political misstep.
A huge one. It wasn't just about the science anymore. It was seen as an insult.
But the Dialogue wasn't just a takedown, was it? Drake points out there's incredible physics in there.
Absolutely. It contains one of the most brilliant thought experiments of all time, the ship analogy.
Right. Let's walk through that. It's so clever.
Okay, so Galileo says, imagine you're in a windowless room on a ship moving at a constant speed on a perfectly smooth sea.
You wouldn't feel any motion.
Right. And if you drop a ball from the ceiling, where does it land?
Right below where you dropped it. At your feet.
It doesn't fly to the back of the room. Why? Because the ball, you, the air in the room, everything shares the ship's forward motion.
Ah, so the big implication is that we don't feel the Earth hurtling through space because we're on the Earth. We're moving with it.
Exactly. It's the principle of relativity of motion. It elegantly dismisses the main common sense objection to a moving Earth.
So then comes the trial. He's convicted of disobeying an earlier order, and he's put under house arrest for life. A tragic end, you'd think.
You would think. But for Drake, this is where the story gets truly triumphant.
Because this is when he writes his masterpiece.
Yes. Old, going blind, a prisoner in his own home, he dictates the two new sciences. This book is the foundation of modern physics.
And he proved his laws with experiments. But how? How do you measure something falling so fast?
He was an incredible innovator. He knew he couldn't measure free fall accurately, so he diluted gravity. He built long, smooth, inclined planes ramps and rolled balls down them.
Ah, slowing the motion down enough to measure it with, what, a water clock?
A water clock, his own pulse. It's the method that's so brilliant. He designed an experiment that could actually give him precise data.
And what did that data prove? What are the big laws in the two new sciences?
Three huge ones. First, the law of falling bodies. He gave it a precise mathematical form. The distance an object falls is proportional to the square of the time. D is proportional to T squared.
An equation, not just a description.
Never just a description. Second, he figured out projectile motion. The path of a cannonball, for instance. He showed it's a parabola.
How?
By showing it's a combination of two simple motions. A constant forward speed and a constantly accelerating downward speed. It was revolutionary.
So the third one.
The big one. The principle of inertia. He stated that an object in motion on a frictionless horizontal plane will stay in motion forever unless a force acts on it.
Which is basically Newton's first law.
It's the direct precursor. Yeah. That methodology, experiment, math, insight, that's the legacy.
So if we pull back, what are the key messages Drake wants us to take from Galileo's work?
I think the first is the most profound. That mathematics is the language of nature. The universe isn't a storybook. It's a machine that runs on mathematical laws. A scientific law has to be an equation.
And we live that every day. Engineers, scientists, they rely on equations because they predict things with precision.
Exactly. The second theme is the courage of valuing evidence over authority. Galileo trusted what his experiments showed him over 2,000 years of tradition.
That's a lesson for all of us, isn't it? To always ask, how do we actually know this is true? Instead of just accepting what we're told.
For sure. And third, Drake shows us the complexity of the conflict. It wasn't simple science versus religion. It was a mess of academic jealousy, politics, personalities, and real theological questions. The simple narrative is almost always wrong.
Galileo was also a brilliant writer, which was part of his power. Let's touch on a few of his key ideas in his own words.
Right. The most famous one, from the Essayer, captures his whole philosophy. He said science is written in the language of mathematics, and its characters are triangles, circles, and other geometric figures.
In other words, to understand the world, you have to learn to speak math.
Precisely. Then there's his defense, from the letter to Grand Duchess Christina. The intention of the Holy Ghost is to teach us how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go.
A plea for separation of domains. The Bible isn't a science textbook. He was trying to build a bridge, not start a war.
He was. And finally, the quote that defines the whole scientific revolution. In questions of science, the authority of a thousand is not worth the humble reasoning of a single individual.
Evidence is the only thing that matters, not consensus, not tradition.
That's the core of the method.
So let's bring this into our world. What are the practical, real-life applications we can pull from Drake's analysis?
For me, the biggest one is what we now call first principles thinking. Galileo never accepted assumptions. He always went back to the most basic, measurable facts. In any field, that's how you get breakthroughs, by questioning the things everyone else takes for granted.
I love that. And there's also a powerful lesson in his resilience, right?
Absolutely. Think about it. He does his most important work, the two new sciences, while he's a prisoner. It's a lesson in focusing on your legacy. The political battles are temporary, but the fundamental work endures.
He also reminds us about effective communication. He didn't just have great ideas, he knew how to share them. Publishing in Italian, using dialogues.
He knew how to get past the gatekeepers and reach people. It's a reminder that a great idea needs a great story to change the world.
That's a perfect summary. You know, my biggest takeaway from Drake's book is that Galileo's greatest achievement wasn't looking through the telescope. It was the hard, grinding work he did on those ramps while blind and under arrest.
The unglamorous work.
Yes, the work that created the mathematical language for motion. It showed me that real genius lies in the rigor of your method.
And I think that's the final thought to leave everyone with. What Galileo really gave us was a new way of asking questions. He taught us to stop asking, what did the ancients say, and start asking, what do the numbers show? And that shift, well, that's what created the modern world.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.